This passage is from John 20, 24 through 30. Now Thomas was one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and everyone today personally. And we ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. He missed it. He missed it. The greatest happening in the world. And he, for some unknown reason, text doesn't blame him, doesn't condemn him. He just wasn't there. Have you ever felt that you've missed out? What others got to see? They got to experience, they got to feel, but not you. You were left out, maybe a little disappointed, and perhaps even a little bit angry. This is Thomas. This is Thomas's experience. This is his experience on Easter Sunday. A strange experience. I do believe that Thomas, as scripture says, was filled with unbelief, but I think also there was something else going on in his heart. I think he was also hurt. You see, they said, "We have seen him. We have seen him." And the text implies that they continue to say that over and over again. And Thomas says, "Listen, unless I see his hands in the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I'll never believe." Can you hear the disappointment? He felt cheated. And no doubt asked a disciple who missed it. "Didn't I follow Jesus for 3 years? Wasn't he just as dedicated as Matthew or James? Didn't he leave everything, risk everything, invest everything, just like everybody else? He was on the team, right? Why did he have to be on the sidelines when everyone else got to be in the game? In particular, on the sidelines on the most important day of all of history. And he missed it." You know, I believe we feel this way sometimes too. Why did we miss out? Why does it have to be so hard for us and not others? Why did things work out for us? How come we seem to have missed it in our lives? And underneath is a low-level frustration. Perhaps a low-grade anger. I know a story of a man who had 4 children and another on the way. And he was graduating from seminary. And it was his graduation day and he had to go downtown in a place that he was very familiar. Let's just say it was in a city in the state of Florida. We'll call it Orlando. And there, in that day, this particular man had to go down and he had to practice walking in a dignified way. And he had to practice coming up and down. And it took probably about an hour. But here was the instruction: whatever you do, Don't miss your picture. We're going to have your picture in an hour and a half or so. Don't be late. Don't miss it. This is your only chance. It's all the picture of all the graduating class is going to be on the wall, and you're not going to be there, and it's going to be you're going to be doing a disservice to all of your classmates. So this was before you couldn't really kind of Photoshop somebody in or something like that. It was a big deal, right? Well, this particular man has parents in town, brothers in town, and they wanted to celebrate with him, and they wanted to go out to lunch in downtown, let's say, whatever the city was, Orlando. And so they did. And the man's juggling little JoJo, maybe one of his kids' names, hypothetically, on his knee and there with the other kids under six and one on the way and nervous because he doesn't know where he's going downtown, doesn't know what to do. And sure enough, it begins time to leave and he goes to get ready to leave and it starts raining. Now, he has his cap and gown with him and he's dressed with nice clothes and it starts raining, but it doesn't just rain in the state. It pours and it pours and pours and pours. And so he ends up calling a taxi. And so he calls a taxi. He's never done that before. It's kind of a strange experience. They didn't have an Uber or anything like that. So he calls a taxi and it's pouring rain and he's staying at this restaurant and he's looking at his watch because they had watches back then and not phones. And he's looking and looking and looking. And he sees 100 yards, 200 yards in the distance, there the taxi pulls up. But no one told this man at this particular time of day in this particular city, in this little square area, they block it off. No through traffic allowed during lunchtime. So this little man, he's littler than he is now. This man looked out 200 yards away. Pouring down rain with the taxi there. He knew he couldn't run through the rain. It would just ruin everything. And so a tear fell from his eye. He was all alone. And he was mad. Angry. Angry at the circumstance. He missed it. That's what happened here in this passage. Flood of emotions. Certainly Thomas was happy, but he missed it. And no one else did. You know, it wasn't a birthday party that he missed. Or a hair appointment or a graduation picture. No problem. Maybe you can get him next time. Take some more schooling or whatever it might take. He missed the greatest miracle of all. A once in a lifetime. It's why we're here today. It's why Christians have church on Sundays, because Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. He was crucified, being stretched across a beam of wood, and he was nailed there. It was the electric chair of the Roman world, a form of execution, save for the worst of the worst of criminals, both embarrassing and excruciating, humiliating, painful. But on the third day, he miraculously rose from the dead. And Easter is celebrated when Jesus Christ, the God-man, did what no man had ever done before or after him. He came back from the dead. Then he appeared. Then he appeared a second time to a group of disciples. And that's our passage today with Thomas. On the following Sunday. Since then, Christians have always celebrated on Sundays. It became the first day of the week for them. But when Jesus rose from the dead on that first Sunday, Easter Sunday, he appeared to a select few. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, the two disciples, you remember, on their way to Emmaus, a private meeting with Peter that we know nothing about. Love to have heard that meeting. And then, that evening, to all 10 of the remaining disciples. And there he walked into their midst, amidst a locked room, and he talked with them, ate fish with them, spent time with his entire band of loyal followers, his disciples, except Thomas. He wasn't there that evening. He missed it. Now Thomas was one of the 12, called the twin, but was not with them when Jesus came. Doesn't God know how disappointed Thomas must have felt? Doesn't he know all the emotions that must have been raging within his heart? It was like his buddies just won the Super Bowl and he was on injured reserve. Yeah, he was on the team, but he wasn't on the field. And when you're not on the field, when the team does something great, it's a horrible feeling. You feel like you're not a part of the team, and he must have been wrestling with those emotions. Maybe he wasn't important enough to be there. Maybe that wasn't God's plan for him. You see, for Thomas, it wasn't enough to hear about other people's experiences. It wasn't enough for him to hear about their encounters. I'm sure he was happy for them. I'm sure he felt, Mary, I'm so glad you got to see him and talk to him. But we want a God encounter for ourselves, don't we? We want him to speak to us, do a miracle for us. Oftentimes we hear the testimonies of others and we're excited for them and we're happy for them. But we just want to be part of the team. Aren't I important enough to have the same experience as everybody else? I have three proposed thoughts for you. Here's the first this morning. Maybe the most strategic person in that room on the day of the greatest miracle ever was the person who was not in the room. The one who missed it. Maybe it wasn't a curse to not have the same experiences as the other 10 disciples. Maybe it was more important for Thomas to have the experience of the tens of thousands of people who don't have the longed for experience. Maybe he wasn't left out. Maybe he was chosen. Maybe God's favor rested on him in a way that was not only different, but special. Chosen to represent a horde of future followers who would more readily identify with Thomas's experience than the 10 disciples. Maybe you're not left out. Maybe you're chosen for some special mission. Maybe you're not like everyone else for a divine purpose. Have you ever? Listen, there were only 10 in that room on Easter Sunday. 10 privileged followers. But most were not in the room. Thousands of years later and millions of people later, they identify more closely with Thomas than with John. Thomas rather than Peter. You know why? Because Thomas represents us, the average follower of Christ. Those that didn't get to see that first appearance. That's why this story is so meaningful to us, especially the way it turns out. Second proposed thought. Maybe it was a greater privilege and opportunity to believe and yet have not seen. Maybe it wasn't a matter of being left out, but instead given a greater opportunity to achieve greater heights. Heights that those other 10 were denied because they had already seen. Maybe, just maybe, this great blessing, the greater favor in this case, was given to Thomas and not to Peter and not to John. Why? Because listen, anyone could believe if they had seen the risen Lord. But who is it that could still believe and yet didn't have that supernatural, once in a lifetime, one in a million experience? What if someone who didn't have that experience could believe? You see, this is a very important question. The question is this: what is Thomas going to do? You see, Thomas was given the opportunity of a lifetime, an opportunity to believe just like the other 10, even though he hadn't seen. Maybe you have that same opportunity, but Thomas missed it. The greatest miss wasn't not being there that Sunday. The greatest miss for Thomas was missing that opportunity to trust, to believe. Why? Because it so pleases the Lord when we're not people who are result-driven, but people who are willing to love in spite of results. People who love God, who believe God, who trust God, who say, God, here am I, do with my life as you may. Whatever turns out, turns out. By your grace, by your power, by your strength, through your encouragement of your Holy Spirit, I love you anyway. You guys know the story of the centurion? When I was younger, that was my favorite story. I wanted to name my firstborn son after this man. But I thought it'd be kind of weird to be named Centurion. You know, I thought, well, maybe how about Sentry? No, that's kind of weird too. But he was a man that was an outsider. And he comes to the Lord in Matthew 8 and he says, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home and he's suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion did something amazing. He said, no. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. You see, I'm a man of authority. I'm in charge of many soldiers. I tell this one to go and he goes. I tell this one to come and he comes. You just say the word. You don't have to come to my house. You say the word and I know he'll be healed. I believe, even though I haven't seen. You know what Jesus says? He says, I have not found such faith in all of Israel like this man. Thomas had that opportunity. What will you do? Will you only believe if the heavens part? God thunders through his voice? Only if he makes a special appearance to you personally? Then will you choose to believe? That's what the rest of the story is for. Look at verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God, Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me, Thomas? Blessed are those who've not seen and yet believed. Here's the real message. Jesus came back for Thomas. He got what he wanted. Jesus did care. He did understand. He did come back, not for the 10, but for the 1. Not for the 10, but for the tens of thousands who weren't there, who think that they have missed it. For some, Thomas' story is God's message to you this morning that Jesus does care, that he died for you, that he took the punishment that you deserve for your sins. He didn't leave you out. You might have missed him, but he didn't miss one single sin of all those who would call upon him. He wasn't a week late. He was right on time for you. And he nailed every single sin on the cross, leaving none out, and broke the neck of death. But in the Father's time, on Easter, Thomas's time was the second Sunday. But I want you to listen to the message that Jesus had to Thomas, even though appearing to him, even though showing his extreme care for this man. Listen to what he says. It's a mild rebuke. Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. You said you wouldn't believe unless you see, then see. You said you wouldn't believe unless you touched, then touch. But do not disbelieve, but believe. Other translations say, stop doubting and believe. Another translation says, but don't be faithless any longer. Change. Believe. Why do you doubt my love for you? Did I not sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did I not allow weak men to throw around my body, rip open my back, crown me with thorns and nail me to a cross, humiliate me before my countrymen and followers, and crucify the King of Glory? Did I not take the righteous wrath for you, Thomas? Did I not tell you over and over and over again that they would crucify me, but I would rise again? I was playing a game with my kids one day. It's called Outburst Junior, and it's an association type of game. And it gives you a category, and I happened to pull out one of the cards, and it was Easter. Easter things. And I thought that would be interesting. And here were the 10 little things that you had to guess on the card. Number one, what's associated with Easter? Easter basket. Number two, Easter bunny. Number three, jelly beans. Number four, Easter eggs. Number five, chocolate bunny. Number six, candy. Number seven, chicks. I thought that was kind of cool. Now, that includes all you females as well as the chicks. Die was number eight. Nine was church. I thought that was impressive. 10 was Easter bonnet. But you know what this card left out? It was completely crossless. It was completely resurrectionless. It wasn't a deficient gospel. It was not even mention of the gospel. Thomas, you know that I raised Lazarus from the dead. You know that I healed lepers. Thomas, you know that I caused the blind to see. You know I gave the poor dignity. You know I treated women with respect that they deserve. You know that I'm God. I gave you a new identity. I gave you a new hope. I gave you eternal life. Stop doubting. For some, Thomas' story is God's mild rebuke to you maybe this morning, that you've been such a skeptic lately. Okay, put out your hands and touch. Stop being faithless and believe. Today is your day. And Thomas, probably full of awe and embarrassment at the same time, declares my Lord and my God. Listen, it wasn't just Thomas. It was the disciples too. They dismissed as idle talk any report at first from the women, from Mary, that Jesus had risen. They rejected it outright. They wouldn't believe either. Even though the women came and said, listen, we've seen him. They didn't believe. They ran to the tomb themselves to check it out. It must have taken something really convincing. Some kind of evidence that was so conclusive, they couldn't draw any other conclusion that this man had risen from the dead. Thomas demands that same compelling evidence. But now, when he says, my Lord, my God, he's wholly convinced something's happened. He worships him as God. Thomas demands both visual evidence and tactile evidence. Unless I see his hands, the mark of his nails, unless I place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. Listen, the other disciples, they only believed after they had seen as well. But Jesus says, those who believe and yet have not seen, those are the blessed. Here's a third thought and a quick one. Maybe Thomas was convinced, not just by seeing and touching. Maybe it was Jesus speaking to him that put him over the top. Jesus' words that persuaded him. How did Jesus know what Thomas said anyway? Thomas wasn't there. How did he know of his complaints? How did he quote Thomas exactly of what Thomas had said? The answer, Thomas knew. It was the fact that he knew Jesus heard him. It was the fact that Jesus' words cut him to the quick. He knew they were true. And now God says the same to you. Is Jesus speaking to you this morning? If so, he would say, stop doubting and believe. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed or happy are those who have not seen and yet believed. Listen, maybe the most strategic person on that first Sunday was the one who wasn't in the room. Maybe the greater privilege was to have the opportunity to believe and yet having not seen. Maybe the most convincing evidence that led to believe were Jesus' words, trusting what he heard. He was near Thomas when Thomas thought he missed it. You can trust God's words this morning too. Thomas's experience, it's your experience. And Jesus' words to Thomas are his words to you. Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. Now that's something you might want to think about.
All who are in him will rise because he has risen. He is risen indeed. If you're here this morning, or if you're watching via live stream somewhere, know that, listen, you don't have to say a fancy prayer, walk an aisle, meet a pastor. You can come into this relationship by asking God to help you stop doubting. Believe. Ask him for faith. Lord, give me faith to believe. And he's no respecter of persons. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise for you. That's a promise for Thomas. That's a promise for me. I can't think of any more appropriate day than this day. Or if you're here and you've been following Jesus for a long time and you've been struggling in your faith, straddling a fence, going back and forth, skeptic, invitations for you too. Maybe even a gentle, sweet rebuke. Stop doubting. You know I'm God. You know what I did. You know who I am. I died for you, not just for your salvation, but for your sanctification, for your whole walk throughout your life. Blessed are those who believe yet have not seen. What an opportunity we have. Instead of saying, let's just get that out of our vocabulary. I just wish I could be like, because he got to, because she got to. Listen, blessed are those who believe. Pleasing to me are those who believe and yet have not seen. Because they say, like the centurion, your word's enough for me. And I trust your word. And I believe you. And that's the way I want to live my life. And one day, just like we sang, we're gonna see him. One day we are gonna see him. But until then, we have got a great opportunity, don't we? Until that day, we have a grand opportunity to live a life worthy of the calling that we've been given. To live a life, as Paul says, to be well pleasing to him. Let's pray, and I'm going to give a few instructions afterward. Lord, we thank you for this day. It's a glorious day, and we just celebrate who you are, what you've done, all that you've meant to us. God, we don't deserve it. It's amazing that you would come back for us. Some of us in this room, Lord, you've come back to dozens of times, and you're coming back to them again today. Oh God, I pray that they wouldn't miss it. That they wouldn't miss the opportunity to surrender, to ask for help, to ask for a new resolve, to believe. And no longer to doubt. Lord, I pray that for my friends here, my friends via the live stream. And Lord, I pray that you would be pleased today. Not just with our praise and our singing. Not just our praying and our fellowship. But Lord, I pray that you would be pleased to know by your grace and your mercy we believe. We believe. Won't you just say that to the Father right now? Just tell him you believe. If you need help in believing, ask for help in believing. If you need help to turn away from doubt, ask for help even now. I'm going to give you a few seconds. Go ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Kids 0 to 6 and 7 to 12, I just want to say, thank you so much for being in Big People Church for an hour and 17 minutes. It's not easy. Not easy. So what we're going to ask you to do is Mrs. Bremner is going to share a little bit about the Easter story. It's going to take about 5 minutes. And then we have a really fun activity planned for all of you 0 to 6 and 7 to 12. And parents, we welcome you to do that. But here's what you got to do, because we're going to do it quick. Because I know you got plans. Your parents got things they're going to do. They're going to go out in the laundry. They're going to do fun things. And so here's what you have to do. You have to go out these doors and immediately go sit on the steps that are right through the entry doors. And so you're going to just sit on the steps. Just find a nice place to sit. And Mrs. Bremner is going to speak to you and give you instructions and directions and what we're going to do. Okay? All right, let's get it in here. Let's get it in here. Dwight, let's get it in here. All right, ready? All right. 1, 2, 3, break. All right, can we do this? I mean, this isn't hard. All right. Zeal. Give me, because Zeal's got a real, he's got a better voice. His voice is deep, even though he's 14 years old. Give me a 1, 2, 3, and we're going to yell break when he goes 1, 2, 3, break. All right? All right, Zeal, real loud. 1, 2, 3. Break! All right, see you out there.